you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My wildest imagination did I think I would land in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
On Sundays, they used to wear the green and gold.
When you play for the Green Bay Packers, a lot of doors open up.
Brett Favre was my quarterback.
But what is life like after football?
When I retired, I had no clue what to expect.
It's time for Where Are They Now? On the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes. Where are they now?
How about that, Tommy?
I producing. Love that.
That's super producer Tommy at his
that was
best
great,
right
Tommy.
There.
Shout out to McD, too. McD makes him, I write him.
I love it. What a legend.
McD and Tommy.
McD and Tommy.
That's like a deadly duo right there.
That's right.
Lethal twosome, whatever.
McT when we come together.
Well, wow. This is the Mason Crosby Show, live from 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. I am Mason Crosby.
Yeah, you are.
Mitch Thunder Nellis' birthday is today. Tommy behind the glass. Oh, all right. And hey, where are they now?
Joining us now. Long snapper extraordinaire.
Yep.
Best last name in football because it never ends.
That's
you
right.
Can say goo for as long as you can.
Brett Good, my former teammate and good friend. Hey, Brett, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
I'm good, man. You texted me this morning. You said you've been up since 4:30, just rocking it.
Just rocking it. The jobs that I have now, I've got to make sure that I get them all taken care of. So I've got to do that before the sun comes up.
Oh man, yeah. So tell everybody, what are you up to now? This is a new segment that we're rolling out, and it's a Where Are They Now Packer edition. So tell everybody what you're up to these days.
So I own a pest control company, and I also am in real estate. So working on a couple of deals on that, and trying to kind of cross advertise on that and move certain people for termite, whether it comes to pest control. But also I work for Keller Williams Real Estate here locally, and then I can also do it nationwide, which is nice.
That's awesome. And you're down in Bentonville, Arkansas, correct? Just selling home to all the Walmart executives down there.
That's right.
Everybody, it doesn't matter. I actually sold my other house that we, my wife and I, moved in a couple weeks ago, so that was good too. So it can be anybody.
So how many houses have you lived in, Brett? I know I always give you a hard time. Like I'm like, Brett, where are you living now? Because you move every 1 to 6 months, I think.
Well, no, I try to do it every 2 years now. That it's on me. I grew up in a builder's lifestyle, so I. Total, with including college and moving to Wisconsin back, I've moved about 38 times. My wife and I have been married 10 years, and we've just completed our sixth move just in Arkansas, not including the moves back and forth to Wisconsin.
That's awesome. I know. I always give you a hard time. I'm like, dude, I don't know where you're living right now. Like, I think y'all are building a house now, right?
Yes. We're working on the plans to get finalized there. I think we're going to settle down, hopefully. We'll see.
At least for another 2 years.
We're getting a little bit older, so it's a little bit harder. So we'll see.
It does get harder when you get older. What was that, Brad?
I said I may just have to buy vehicles again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this guy, like Brett, when we were playing there in Green Bay, I mean, he'd have a new truck every 6 months, it felt like. I mean, he went through so many different phases. I mean, he had the big dually for a while, and then he'd get like, you had like a Chevy Colorado at one point. Yeah. I'm like, what just happened? Like, you went from the dually to the Colorado. That lasted like half a year, and then you moved on to something else. So what are you driving these days?
Right now, I'm driving a Toyota Tundra. And I'm currently looking at a couple of Chevys right now, but I can't make up my mind. So, it's still the same. Nothing has changed on my end. I know. As crazy as all.
Well, Brett, you're one of the most consistent people I've ever been around and played with, routine after routine, all the time. Always did the same thing. You're the reason I drink coffee religiously now. You and Tim sitting around.
Nice.
I was like, man, if I'm going to hang out with these guys, they just sit around drinking coffee. I'm like, I'm going to have to start drinking coffee. So
you got to step up, Mace.
Yeah, I stepped my game up. We drink a lot of coffee there in Green Bay in that building. Yeah. It was to get through the days playing FIFA. Going to, you know, 30-minute meetings, you know, which were a grind at times, you know, but Brett had to work a little harder.
Wow, must be rough for a special teamer.
The special teams were tough. But Brett had to work every day. Brett actually worked every day.
Yeah, we had they were tough. We had, and then you had to do the show teams, you know. So if I wasn't doing the punt team, I had to do the punt return team. And so then all the coaches liked to try to get after me, and just it was always just hit the snappers as many times as they could until they changed the rule.
Nice. I love that.
I know. Yeah, so Brett was there where they crossed over on the rule where they could line up and just tag the long snapper. And like Brett had to kind of like the long snappers used to be, you know, 280 pounds because they had to take like a beating in the line of scrimmage. And then it was like, all right, now you know, slim up a little bit. You got to now cover and, you know, release and pick and do all the stuff. So yeah, Brett had to go through that transition of things, but you know, I was just thinking about you know, a moment in time where we had, like, I think linemen were getting injured in the game, and I remember you starting to take snaps on the sideline. Tell everybody about, like, your what your mindset was when you thought there might be a chance you actually were going to go on the offensive line. I can't remember the exact game, but I remember it vividly happening on the sideline.
It happened two times. Once was in Detroit, and the other one was in Atlanta for the it was the NFC Championship game. And it was one of those things where I started talking. You know, I didn't have a mouthpiece, so I always chewed gum during the games. And like, so I go to the trainers, like, hey, I need a mouthpiece. I'm just fixing to get rocked here. And I was like, I'm just going to start cutting people. And then they're like, you can't start doing that because then you're going to get a chop block, and that's going to be a $15,000 fine, which would have taken my entire paycheck. And so I was a little nervous, you know, but I was just going to have to figure it out and I go back to the old school days of just basically snap the ball and just get rocked and see how much I could hold of my own.
They wouldn't have lined up over you and just tried to, like, take their shots, would they? I mean, that would have been brutal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely they would have. I mean, those guys, even when they used to get hit, I remember when Sue and all those other guys, they would just tag you. And then we'd sit in those field goal meetings. Then, you know, at the next week talking about it, and all the defensive linemen and offensive linemen would just make fun of me and laugh because I would be on the ground with two or three guys sitting on top of me. So they would have definitely rocked me, and I would have just had to deal with it.
We're talking to Brett Goode. So Mitch has a hard time with names sometimes.
Look at that professional reset by Mason Crosby.
Brett Goode.
Man, I love radio.
Where are they now? Oh, I'm learning, guys. I'm learning.
Yeah, you are.
Where are they now? He's in Bentonville, Arkansas. He owns his own pest company.
Do you go to Walmart every day?
I go probably two or three times a week. Yeah, when we get it delivered, yes.
Oh, nice.
Fair.
Use their delivery.
Little bougie.
Delivery. They got in-home delivery now from Walmart.
Is it by drivers or drones?
Well, they have both.
Wow.
It depends on what you want, yeah.
I'm sure in Bentonville, it's like everything, yeah. Like, it has to be top-notch over there.
Yeah, well, we got to get ready for the rest of the world, you know? This is a worldwide organization.
It's true. Just test the market.
That's a good point.
Hey, I want to talk. It is Super Bowl week, so we're going to start diving into some Super Bowl stories, you know, hitting on some things. So, obviously, Brett Goode. 2010 team, Super Bowl champion, teammate of mine. Talk about the week leading up to the Super Bowl and memories you have on what that was like. Obviously, ours was unique, going to Dallas, the snowstorm, ice storm, all the stuff. Just tell everybody, like, what that week was like and kind of what you can remember from Super Bowl week in 2010.
Yeah, that was a crazy week with the ice and everything. You know, they gave us those shared cars. It was funny. I remember kind of trying to go to the mall, and actually it was on the OnStar. We ended up getting a call that was a collector for somebody who they thought, you know, they just gave their number. I can't remember the person's name, but we talked to him for like 20 minutes in the car, and we're like, hey, we're not the person you're looking for. This is a brand-new car. It had like 2 miles in the car. But it was a collector's agency trying to get a hold of somebody, collect some money. You know, the whole week was just trying to be as normal as possible. And you know, you remember going back and forth to practices. We would go to Dallas Stadium, then we'd go to back over and practice with the team. And we were stuck inside because of the snow. So there's no kicking outdoors. You and Tim were kicking this inside, try to blast the wall of that indoor facility. And then really you're just, you try to make it as normal as possible. So I think realistically the first few days were really normal until all of our families got there on that Thursday. And then it kind of got crazy because we all tried to please them and go around and do different things. But I think that Mike and the staff did a great job of, you know, putting the curfew later in the week and making sure that we all got back to the hotel. And you try not to watch as much TV, but we just played cards and hung out, and it was a lot of fun, obviously. And then, you know, winning the Super Bowl was a lot of fun. And then after the after party, you know, everybody loves the after party, right?
Yeah, I was going to get to that because, you know, the thing that people don't realize, so right after the Super Bowl, which this was a miss, I think, on the Packers organization, on like the side of how we did things, I'm pretty sure we were expected to be on the buses, what, at like 9 or 10 a.m. the next day after a full night of partying. I still remember, tell the story of like, can you remember everything that you left at the hotel?
I cannot remember everything. I know one of them was a camera with all my photos on there because it was old school with the cameras, not really on our phones.
I thought you left an iPad as well.
I left an iPad as well. And then so we went out, the party, you know, after the game, you got all the media stuff that's going on. So we hit up Jerry's Bar, and we're all sitting there hanging out for a couple hours. Then we go back to the hotel. You've got Kid Rock there at the hotel. And then they only gave us, we had 16 tickets, but they only gave us that 8 tickets to the after party. So I took everybody else out. We went out and just had a lot of fun. Long story short is I ended up walking back into the hotel at 7:15 the next morning. And we were supposed to be downstairs, and I was going to my room to pack. And next thing I know, they're knocking on the door very loudly, telling me that I need to get out of the room because the buses are waiting on us. And so
the buses can wait.
Run and grab as much as I can, throw it in the bag, and throw on some sunglasses, and kind of walk down. The first person I see is John Kuhn on the elevator, which was a relief that I wasn't the only one. And then I get downstairs and start realizing other guys are in the same boat that I was in.
Yeah, I remember getting a knock on the door, and I wake up, and I'm like, I'm hugging a Whataburger like bag, because at like 5 in the morning, we went and drove through, like got a taxi with like all my family, and we drove through Whataburger.
Amazing. That's amazing.
And I just remember, I just woke up, like someone knocking on the door. I'm like, why are we leaving at 8:30 in the morning? What's happening right now?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And then, of course, you know, you take that flight, and we had that tour again once we got landed in Green Bay, and the drinks just kind of started up again. So it was a party that lasted for me it lasted a lot of the offseason too, because we ended up going into the lockout year. So it was a lot of fun.
It was a long party. And speaking of that, you were a whiskey guy whenever we were there together in Green Bay, but you've transitioned to tequila now, right? Like you've gotten a little bougie down there in Bentonville, you know, started to go into the tequila space. So tell us a little bit about that, and it's going to segue to a story I have of a day on the golf course. So
nice,
yeah. What's your go-to tequila?
This is Brett Goode on the Mason Crosby Show, by the way.
First of all, when it comes to tequila, bougie is not me. Now, my wife gets mad at me because the tequila I drink is the only tequila that I know of that comes in a plastic bottle. So
of course you do.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Yes. So it is in a cabinet. My tequila stays in the cabinet. It's not out on the shelf like everybody else's tequila or other drinks at the house. But I drink Rancho tequila Reposado, and now I switched about halfway through my pro career. I guess right when I met her, I kind of switched over to tequila. So 2014. And I love it. I did it with ice. And now I have figured out that restaurants and stuff charge you for a mixed drink if you add ice. So now I just drink the same cheap tequila neat.
I love it. I love they charge you for ice.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
That's such a Brett Goode thing to do. But that leads me to this story. And it was, I can't remember the year. It might have been that 2010 season, actually, because it was you, it was 2009. It was you, me, Jeremy Capinos, and Matt Flynn. We went to and played golf at Whistling Straits. I think it was the last open day of the season, like in October on a Tuesday. It's like sleeting, 45 degrees, windy, cold. We get to that first cart, And you're just like, I gotta have Jack Daniels. And so you're just like, hey, give me, you know, I think did you say like a six, like six shots of Jack Daniels? And they
sounds
say,
about right.
That will be $96.
What?
And you're like, well, you've already poured it, so I guess I'm doing that.
Yeah, that's what I realized. I learned right then is next time I start bringing my own bottles to different courses. But yeah, they already poured it, and it was cold. You got to warm up and get a little swing lube going on.
Oh, man, I still remember that day vividly, just how miserable it was. I think we hit on one of the par threes. We all hit driver. It was like 185 yards. And, you know, the par threes running down on Lake Michigan. And I'll toot my own horn, though. I hit driver on that hole and hit the green, landed it on the green. That was probably the best shot I had of the day, because the rest of the day is just a blur. It was cold. It was a death march. It was miserable. But we had some fun golf rounds together, buddy.
We did. It was always fun. That was one of the greatest things. Everybody talks about, you know, do you miss it and miss a lot of things? And obviously you miss the games and the paycheck, but it's the hanging out afterwards and the off season. When we would go work out for, you know, when you and I first started, we would start the off season program in March. Now they do it like right around tax day. And so we were there even longer, and you just miss those times where you can go golf and just basically, I guess you just really didn't have any responsibilities. You know, I didn't have family or kids, and so you just go golf and hang out and then go to the casino.
Family That's and right. kids, ridiculous.
Yep, pre-wife and kids.
Brett Good is here on the Mason Crosby Show. We're on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan, and on the free Odyssey app. Brett, my wife is a huge sports fan, but she's also a big arts and museum person. I know you got the Crystal Bridges Museum there in Bentonville. Have you ever been to that museum? And like, do you ever get over there? Is it? I mean, it's a pretty famous museum there.
It is very famous. I go about twice a year. It's an awesome museum. You know, they've always got different pieces coming in, and it's actually on tour with a lot of the other museums. So it is a legit museum. They've got a George Washington in there that was the dollar bill was designed after. So if you've never Wow. been, definitely come visit it. They've got a place right outside of it. And it's called the Amazium. That's for kids. It's a hands-on art Done. Expo, and so That's there's awesome. A lot of that going on. Everything's a lot outdoors up here. You can outdoor walk. They have a trail that you can look at different art pieces outside, and then of course we have all the mountain biking trails around here too. So it's really it's a hidden gem that's no longer hidden for a lot of places that are. We've got a lot of people moving here now, so, which is good for me in real estate. So if anybody wants absolutely. To move here, give me a call.
Sounds like a Thunder Crosby family mess around that we should yeah. meet up in Bentonville, hang out with Brett and do the museum, well, do the kids one, do the mountain bike, all of yeah. them.
Whenever he builds his mansion, we'll, I'm sure he'll have plenty place of to stay. Space. Yeah. Yeah. Will you have a guest
a
house where you build?
To stay at.
Yeah, will you build a guest house for us to come and visit?
Yeah, yeah. We'll just put up a nice little, we'll do like a pop-up tent in the garage.
Exactly. Nothing better. Nothing less from you there, Brett. But
I think Tommy might have one as well. Tommy, you got a question today?
Okay, oh. I can get a question out here. Speaking of Amazium here, Brett, your wife was on the Amazium race, better known as the Amazing Race, right? That's yes. what your Wikipedia page says, at least. She got fourth place with her ex. If you were on the team, where would you guys have finished?
Like, you guys would have won, right?
I yeah. liked it.
Oh, I definitely think we would have won. Yeah. We would at least finish top three.
Okay,
I
mean,
that's
right.
a no-brainer.
Yeah. Right. I completely understand why she left him for you then. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see that physique that's on there, too? That's a great photo, too.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. You, your Wikipedia page is you on a children's bicycle, so you, and surprisingly, when some Packers do it, they look like gigantic humans on them. You look pretty good on that bike, Brett.
I look really good, though. Well, it's the shaved head and the goatee.
Yeah,
the
that's right. Yeah. It's very slim.
Oh, it's a shaved yeah. head time.
Yeah, man. Shaved head and goatee. Yeah. Looks
he went
sweet.
Shaved head to then like full beard and long hair. Like he's changed his look a lot. Like I always was concerned why he changed his look so much. Like if someone was after him or what was going on. So, and then he'd go by Good or Good, like Goody. Like he had so many different names. I felt like he was always changing. Is that was that for a reason, Brett?
I mean, I'm still moving houses and changing cars. Nobody can follow me. I try to stay incognito all the time.
Shift and move at all times. I know. Like you just wanted to like you never wanted anybody to like, you know, get comfortable with you being there, right? Like it's like, all right, this guy's reinventing himself all the time. Like Brett knows what he's doing. That was
smart.
That was the life of the specialist, right? Like, you never wanted to be seen and heard. You just wanted to be, you just wanted to fly under the radar.
You fly under the radar. I think when I was there in 10 years, I think it was almost, it was either 6 or 7 contracts I signed in there. And so I'd only stayed at one place to over 2 years in Green Bay as well. So I was always on edge thinking I was always going to get cut. So that's probably the look, the way that I changed all my looks too.
Speaking of getting cut, do you hate the Jaguars? Like, are they just the worst? No, they're okay.
No, I mean, it was an opportunity. I was appreciative of them giving me that opportunity, and both times I was down there. So I think anytime you get that chance, you're able to get, you know, snapping on film. For me, it was snapping, you know, so it's all about getting game taped. And so in the preseason, I was able to get a couple of games, and I think that if I probably hadn't done that, I may have not had the opportunity in Green Bay.
All right, now, Brett, you're listed at 6'1", 255. I don't know what you weigh in these days, but we've been talking on the show that I think, so I'm 6 foot, I'm like 215 right now. I feel like if, as a 14-year-old, if I had started practicing to be a long snapper and had worked on it all through high school and into college, like, I think I could have played in the NFL as a long snapper. Am I insane, or do you think, like, if somebody is has a good amount, like, I'm a decent athlete, I'm not a great athlete, but I'm a good athlete, but if I had really devoted, like, hours and hours and hundreds of hours and weightlifting and, like, done all the right things, do you think someone like me could have been a long snapper?
If I would have devoted that many hours into my guitar playing and my music career instead of drinking whiskey, I probably could have been a country music singer, too.
There you go.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want when you put in that much time, but I don't think people really understand how much time, even though we're quote-unquote specialists in the NFL, you're judged at a very high level, and they don't realize how much actual time is put into that craft and perfecting that craft.
Fair. Well, that's fair.
Brett, before you came on, I was just talking about how I give so much credit to the long snapper, the whole the line and all of that. And I just want to leave with one little kind of funny joke. This was always pregame where Brett could throw 20 balls in a row, perfect laces, all the stuff, and he's like, he's over on the sideline just firing them away, like, we're getting ready, and then literally his first snap in pregame always was laces back and like wobbly. And we always joke, we're like, hey, man, you've perfected the slow and wobbly snap. And yeah. So we would always break the ice almost. It was like funny because it was like perfect, perfect, perfect. And then the first snap, whenever we went live, he'd throw this just little wobbly duck and it would be laces back. And we'd all just kind of smile and be like, all right, we're locked back in. So, well, I appreciate that, Brett. I appreciate it.
Solid. Do what I can.
Awesome. Well, Brett, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
All right, Brett. It was great catching up. And, where are they now? Brett Goode joining us. And he was, he's now in Bentonville. He's a realtor. He has a pest control company, crushing life. All the best to Monica and the kids. And, just keep doing your thing. Appreciate it, Brett.
All right, thank you. Have a good one.
Later. All right, that's Brett Goode joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Great catching up and hearing those Super Bowl stories were great. The tequila stories are amazing, of course. That's what Where Are They Now is all about, like reminiscing and then hearing what they're up to these days. And apparently we all have a place to stay in Bentonville, and we're all, you know, I think it's a Mason Crosby Show road trip. Let's go.
I like it. Yep. Let's do it on the road. And Brett's the best. I could have talked to him for a whole show just reminiscing on stories. I mean, we've played together for 10 years and, he's one of my all-time best and favorite teammates and great friends. So I loved having him on and hope to have him on again.
No doubt about it. He was great. And this is the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Former Packers scout and current afternoon host on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Brian Brodus, gives us his thoughts on the Senior Bowl this afternoon on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's at 3:20 on The Fan. Some breaking news out of Cleveland that I think we got to get to next. There's a tease. Also, a major announcement here on the Mason Crosby Show tomorrow on tomorrow's show. So be tuning in right away at 9 a.m. Major announcement coming up tomorrow. But again, some breaking news out of Cleveland. We got to discuss that. It's a little NFL. Get your juices full. And I'm sure Packers fans are going a little nuts right now trying to put something together in their brains at least. So we will get to that.
What can we do?
Exactly. This is the Mason Crosby Show. By the way, did you know we're on the Odyssey app?
I did, and it's Mitch's birthday. Happy birthday, Mitch.